But Sue Sawyer, many of you know her from, she's come to the ladies' banquets over the years, and she's been involved in CEF not for the entire 80 years, but she's been in Tioga County for a long time. She said she thought she was going to retire until she came back, and she's kind of been heading it up. So, Sue, looking forward to hearing what the Lord has for you, and this or from you, and this is all set for you.
It's on?
Yep.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, again, we've already done our greeting, but I appreciate the offer to come and share the ministry here. I know many of you are prayer warriors, and that's where our ministry continues on, because of the prayers of the faithful body of Christ, our local churches that have supported this ministry for so many years. And as we just shared, CEF of Tioga County has been in the county ministering for 61 years now. We are affiliated, as you see the screen, with Child Evangelism Fellowship of Eastern Pennsylvania. Now, that ministry will celebrate 80 years next year. And there'll be a big concert down in Harrisburg, and information will be coming out about that. But we invite you to attend. It'll be a Steve Green concert. And we are an interdenominational ministry. However, each county ministry is autonomous, and we have a wonderful CEF committee that guide the ministry in our county. We of Eastern Pennsylvania are 19 chapters, and we cover 25 counties in Eastern Pennsylvania. Our purpose is to reach the children in our area with the gospel. We reach out to the lost children, and we also reach out to the saved children to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. And so how do we accomplish that? Well, the Lord has given us that commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But the key verse that we use in Child Evangelism Fellowship is found in Matthew 18 and verse 14. It is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. And so that is our calling, to reach the children in Tioga County. Now, our next slide here. Oh, that doesn't show up too well, does it? I'm going to take you on a tour of what we do in 1 year's time in our ministry. So my main purpose as a director, and as you'll be introduced to Louisa, the new director, is actually to train our volunteer staff who go out into the county and teach our ministries. So we have myself there on the left doing our teacher training kickoff, where we give our teachers their materials for the year. And basic materials they use throughout the year. And then each month, the second Monday of the month, we have teacher training for our volunteers, where they're given the materials that they will use for the rest of the month. And then in the center there, we have Carol Hoover from our state headquarters. They come up and help us from time to time with our teacher training class, and she is sharing with our staff how to counsel a child for salvation. And when Louisa takes over full time in January, our state headquarters will come up and help her each month with teacher training class, because she has training that she needs to go through as well. It's called our Keystone training. And that's where our state headquarters are very important to us local counties. They provide us with many of the materials that we provide for our teachers each month. The slide, or the picture on the right side, is Lori Carpenter. She is one of our committee members, and she works with the school, Northern Tioga School District, and she works with the learning disabled children, children with ADD that need special help throughout the day. She did a workshop for us on reaching these children, how to teach children with ADD, how to teach children who may have like a Tourette's syndrome and the extra help they need in being able to focus on their studies. So we glean from our staff, whether state headquarters or our committee or local individuals, to come and to help us in our teacher training program. What do we do once our teachers are trained? We go out into the counties, and we have after-school programs. And this is a program where the school opens a room or facility to us after school hours. And our staff goes in and teaches the children the Good News Club program. And this is the Liberty After School Club. And last year, this was held in the auditorium, the multipurpose room. And it gives us the opportunity to share the precious gospel with the children. Gary Inerway, our co-worker, and he should be here in a little while to work with the children during Sunday school. But he is now the teacher in that club. And so we're grateful for the opportunity to be in the schools. As Pastor Ron shared with you, I retired after 15 years of ministry to care for my mother. I was away in the South Jersey area where I'm from for 3.5 years. And then Bob and Allison, whom I'm sure some of you have met, they had to leave for the very same reason. So I was asked to come back as an interim director. Now, when I was in New Jersey, I also worked with the local CEF ministry, and they cannot get in the schools in New Jersey. And when I explained that we have after-school clubs where the school provides a room for us, they were astounded because they are not in the schools. The other aspect of our, this ministry takes place from October through April. The other aspect of ministry is the release time program. And we have a release time in the Westfield and Elkland schools, the Mansfield School, and the Blossburg Elementary School. We have a program in each of our 7 elementary schools in the county. And this is pictures of the Westfield release time. Now, we go to the school, pick up the children, take them off-site. This is held at People's Church of Potterbrook, and then we take them back. We have 1 hour, and that includes transportation. So we have to do a mini Good News Club. But we have a lot of fun with these children, and on the bus, we're even doing club on the bus. We do songs, we do memory verse review, and the children, especially on the way back, have opportunity to ask questions. And they have some astounding questions they asked. Last year, our lessons were on beginnings, and it's the question was, well, how did God begin? Where did he come from? This is from an 8-year-old child. And so my coworker and I were answering that question. That's hard for us as adults sometimes, isn't it? To accept by faith that God has eternally existed. And yet we share those truths with the children. Also, in a release time program, the way the school supports us is, yes, they give us a time All three principals in the Northern District are supportive of the ministry. So they went together one year to find out what would be the best time to have club. And that is during the lunch hour, where the children may only miss a few minutes before a class or after, at the end of a class. So that's when we have our club. But the school provides the children with their lunch. So they're called down, they go to the cafeteria, they pick up their lunch, they come back, we take them to club. And while they're eating, we teach the Bible lesson. And then for the interaction things, they've finished eating and they're not, you know, spitting crumbs out all over the place. But anyway, we do. We have a wonderful time sharing God's truths with the children. And then we move on to our summer program. Our summer program is Good News Day camps, but it is also our summer missionaries. We hire two young people. They can be high school or college age from 16 on up. Even Miss Louisa will be a summer missionary for a while next summer. But last year, this year, we had Rebecca Irway. She's on the right there. She's a senior at Cedarville College. And then her sister Sarah joined her this year, and she was her trainee. The summer missionary is trained to teach the Bible and to carry the club and to handle counseling situations. The trainee handles the mission, the continuing missionary story. She will help with the memory verse, teaching songs. She supports the summer missionary. Typically, they will garner some of their support from family, friends, and so forth. The remainder of their support will come from our general fund if necessary. I put our Good News Day Camp soccer camp picture in the center because these girls do the teaching at soccer camp. They came in here this summer and did your VBS, and so they use that same program at soccer camp. And they do a wonderful job with the children. At soccer camp, they have a general opening. They go out and have a soccer session. They come in for a refreshment, their Bible lesson, continuing missionary story, and a memory verse. And then they go out for their second soccer session, and then they come back in for a closing program. So this is something new. Bob and Allison Horn established this ministry, and we'll be going into our fifth year to have soccer camp, and it's been successful. And Louisa will share her vision for the ministry in the future and how maybe through some of these avenues we can not only reach the children but get the millennial parents involved in the ministry. We need those contacts in today's age. So that is the beginning of our summer ministry. 2 weeks of very intensive training takes place in mid-June. And then the girls come back and begin 8 weeks of ministry. That is quite a commitment for a young person to make. And they did a fabulous, I called them my dream team last year because they were RFA. And the CEF motto is RFA, ready for anything. And truly they were. They filled and wore many hats this summer, this past summer. The next slide shows our Good News Day Camp. And on the upper left, we have our missionary family, Jared and Cindy Jenkins. They are one of the missionaries that we support throughout the year and present to our children. Well, they were our Nauvoo missionaries. We have a strong mission emphasis in our ministry, and they shared their ministry to Muslim and Hindu young people. And in the center there, we have what we call our camp secretaries. But Linda is pictured there with, again, Lori Carpenter, one of our committee members. And they prepare the snacks for the children during the day. There are gophers. They'll do anything we need at the moment. And also they do all of the statistics. And so Linda had a big part in accomplishing that this summer. And then on the two pictures on the left right side, we have the upper picture was Sarah Irway and the lower picture, Rebecca Irway, with their group. They were group leaders. The center picture below are junior counselors, and they were our counselors at Ives Run. And Paige was one of our junior counselors this summer. And her mother was also a group leader, Cheryl, and we appreciated her ministry and coming alongside and helping with us. And then on the lower left side is Jim Mucci. He is the naturalist out at Hills Creek State Park. And he calls me every January and makes sure that we are first on his schedule for the summer. And he comes to each one of our camps. He asks what the theme will be. And he coordinates his presentation on the animals of Tioga County with the theme that we have that summer. And he's been ministering with us. This is my 21st year, technically, in ministry here. And he has been doing this before I even came. He was a school teacher out in the Westfield area, science teacher for many years. Now he's retired and can do this full time. And when he does his presentation, it is the joy of his life to be able to do that. And then we go into our extra ministries. We have a spring and a fall banquet. And it seems like a year ago, but it was a week ago, we had our fall banquet. And we have a very strong committee, and we have a working committee. And as I said, we cover 19 chapters in eastern Pennsylvania, but our committee is noted as being one of the strongest committees in eastern Pennsylvania. They are a working committee, and they put on the whole banquet. They do all of the cooking, the ordering, a lot of the serving, and they are just a wonderful support to us as staff. And then several of our behind-the-scenes volunteers on the left there is one of our committee members helping in the kitchen at the Fireman's Annex, doing prep for all of the beverages that are served. In the center, we have newsletter, and there's a young lady there, Donna, who has come and helped with our newsletter. And we do this bi-monthly now, and we do a newsletter, but we do a prayer calendar. And some of those prayer calendars are on the table in the back there, and we would appreciate you taking them. It's the October-November prayer letter, and we would ask that you would uphold us in prayer. It lists the clubs that we have, upcoming events, and we would greatly appreciate your prayer support behind that. On the left side, we have Mary Wetmore. She is the mother of Carol Wetmore on our committee, and Dwayne. She worked at soccer camp. And, you know, we have a position for any age group. We've seen that here. From 16 to be a summer missionary to committee members, we're looking for new committee members to come and help with newsletter when you can't be out in the field helping. To help with beverages at soccer camp, as Mary Wetmore did. So there are many ways, and then, of course, prayer is the most important aspect of ministry. Other ways that volunteers support us in the ministry. I love this picture on the left side. This took place at our Nauvoo camp this past summer. She is counseling a child, And we had some rain, so she's got her umbrella there. And it was just a blessing when I got my photos back to see that picture and that little child listening to how he could know that he can belong to the Lord Jesus, how he knows he can have his sins forgiven and have a home in heaven someday. And Rhonda Harris also not only came in and counseled several days, but she also housed our missionaries, Jared and Cindy Jenkins, that you saw on a previous slide. The center picture is our witness garden, retired Pastor Bob Shuey and his wife Darlene came in and worked on the bank between our garage and our headquarters building, which is located right next to McDonald's in Wellsboro. But they made this witness garden, and they put rocks in there with the wordless book colors. And so every time someone goes through the Wellsboro McDonald's drive-through, they get to see the witness garden, and there were two slates there, and it says, God loves you, God loves children. And, of course, we have our big camp trailer that's parked in the back as well with our logo on it. So we try to have an open presence in Wellsboro to share what we are about, what we are doing. On the left side, I have flea market. Now, what is flea market? Well, during camp, the children earn points through the week for doing a memory verse, for their attendance for the day, for their cooperation with their group leader and junior counselor. The junior counselors take them for their recreation time. And they spend these points at the flea market. This is something else our churches can do. They can collect items that would appeal to children from first to sixth grade. And then this family, a family, mom and three children, came in and sorted all those materials for three camps. And then the children spent their points on these items at camp. So that's a fun day for the children when they get to spend the points they've earned through the week. But it's wonderful to see how people come alongside and support us in so many different ways. And we are really grateful for these people that come alongside. Day camps, three of them. One in the south at Nauvoo, the schoolhouse. One in the central part of Wellsboro at Ives Run Federal Park. And then up along the north, we have our day camp at the South Shore Recreation Area. So those two camps are outside. So, you know, whatever the weather is that day, we deal with it. And so to tie this up, to challenge you that you too can be a part of the CEF ministry. As I said, there's information in the back. If you'd like to sign up for our newsletter, you can receive it through email or through the mail. Prayer partners, we covet your prayers. We need prayer. That's the strength of our ministry to carry us on through prayer. So I just want to thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity to share with you this morning. And I'm not sure what Pastor wants to do right now. Should I turn this off?
No.
Leave it on. Okay. All right.
Well, it has been neat to hear their ministry. And some of you might be familiar with some of the things they did, but maybe you weren't aware that they did stuff all year long or do all the camps and different things. We're going to watch a brief video. So, Joe, if you wouldn't mind catching those lights. And then Louise is going to come up and explain a little bit about what we watch here. And then if you have questions, they're going to be doing a Sunday school hour as well. So stay around for that after the fellowship time and come back and ask any questions that the Lord lays on your heart when you hear more about what God's doing.
Before the world began, before the world began, you knew.
crazy.
I'm a little short, so I'll just lower this here. As you can see, and unfortunately the video just moves very rapidly, so it's kind of hard to kind of grasp all those statistics, but for many of you, well, first of all, I'm Louisa Self, and Sue's training me. I'm going to be the new director. Praise God for that. And he's called me to this ministry, and I'll share this with you a little bit later about that. But in pertaining to the statistics, there's this, many of you have heard it probably, it's called the 414 window. And what that means is that at any given time in the life of an individual, it's a time frame where most likely they will receive Christ. If at any time in life they will receive Christ between the age of 4 to 14. Now, really by the time they get to 9 or 10 years old, that really limits itself significantly. So most likely between the ages of 4 and 9, they'll receive Christ. It's about probably 50, 60% during that time, and then it just completely dwindles from there. Once a child is pretty much by the age of 13, their impression about who God is, about the questions we have about life, who we are, why we're here, are pretty much formed. And what we've been able to, through Barna, they do all the, compile all the statistics. A lot of that, through my personal study, happens because the kids are being indoctrinated. We do not live in a world that honors God or loves God, and we like to think they do, but they don't. We don't. You know, they're being indoctrinated by the philosophy of the world. Evolution has a big, strong emphasis in that. Our kids are going into the schools. I know that because I kind of get teary-eyed about it because, you know, it's one of the schemes that the evil one uses to destroy and distract. And but the kids are going into the school systems, and they're being brainwashed with these ideas of, you know, that God's not there and that, you know, the evolutionary mindset is being taught at every level, not just on the level of science, because for the unbeliever, it answers their questions, because we want to live life apart from God, and we want to make sense so that we're not under anyone's authority. And that's just the rebellious nature of man, the depravity of man. But why CEF? And for me, personally, you know, after I graduated seminary, which God allowed that opportunity for me. Praise Him for that. And it was all given. It was a scholarship I could not have gone. And I graduated from a secular school, Rutgers University in New Jersey. And the Lord afforded an opportunity after going back to finish my MBA, you know, and 20 years of walking faithfully with God, that was not the direction He wanted for me. And my heart was just not there going back into the secular world. I know most of us have to work in secular jobs. Regardless, we can be a voice for God. But for me, God specifically called me, and I knew that He had raised me and used the so many years of my life in 25 years of ministry, specifically to children. I began with the MOPS program, and I was a leader and a speaker with that, and then I did Awana for a long time. I love the Awana program because it hides God's word in the children's heart. All of my kids did that. I have 8 children. Praise the Lord for them. Yes, they're all mine. My husband and I have 7 together, and they're a blessing. Not always a blessing, but they're a blessing from God. And I was also a homeschool mom for 18 years. And in that time, as the kids began to leave the nest, I began to ask, Lord, what are You going to do with me afterwards? And He allowed an opportunity for me to go, like I said, to seminary school. It was through an apologetics class that I was taking with one of my homeschool kids in a local seminary school nearby where I lived in Florida. And so God, who began a good work in me, is completing it. I'm back with children again after raising my own and being home for 18 years with my kids. So He brought me to seminary school, and I was blessed to be taught under the tutelage of amazing just godly, seasoned men that were in their 70s and 80s, and they're still teaching at the university today. I became a professor. They had asked me to stay on after we graduated, which was a blessing, to start their Spanish ministry, which I did because I'm Spanish. I'm Cuban, and I could do that. So needless to say, when the Lord called me, or I was sensing his call here, I said, "Lord, I'm Spanish. I'm urban. What am I doing in the middle of Tioga County?" So bear with me, but if you would pray, please, for me, because I'm trying to understand. I have a clarity as to why God has brought me here, but I'm also trying to understand the dynamics of this area. But you see, God's at work. He's gone before us. He's preparing the way, and he has prepared the way. I mean, the Bible says, you know, even before the world began, God, you know, has prepared works for us to do. So with that being said, and, you know, my trying to discern what is it that God is going to do in and through me and in through this ministry, because this is the platform that he's given me. I have a love and a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his work. I was saved 27 years ago. It was in October of 1991, and I collided with the living God, and praise God, it was not a, you know, death experience or anything like that, but it was my salvation experience, and it's just as wonderful because God spoke to my heart. I was just kind of a person, I was kind of loose. My thing that brought me to the Lord was my tongue. I would say things, and I didn't know how to take them back. Well, I couldn't take them back. And I didn't mean half of the things I said. And, you know, I felt so convicted by that. And I just thought, Lord, I didn't know the Lord at the time. But I hurt people along the way. And that was my salvation experience. That may be small to a lot of people, but that was real to me. Because, you know, the Bible talks about the tongue being, you know, fire. And it just destroys. It's like a forest fire. And it just destroys along the way. And so my sister-in-law talked to me, and I was going to church. I was going to a Catholic church at the time and had all the religion in the world, but I didn't have that relationship. And that's how the Lord Jesus collided in my life, and here I am. So, but moving forward with where God has me today, it was, I remember specifically crying out to God about a year ago, and my husband had, and we left from Florida. We lived there in 27 years, and then we moved into West Virginia, and my husband had interim work there for a year, so we just decided to go. And I had prayed about that, and I just really felt like the Lord was calling us to West Virginia. But after being there for a year, I just didn't know why. It was a wilderness adventure for us there. It was very challenging. The culture is very, very different from the culture we came from in Florida. Unbelievers everywhere, I understand that. There's a very big, huge drug culture. We live in Charleston, West Virginia, and extremely alcoholism, a lot of alcoholism, extreme drugs. I mean, flagrantly, you just see them as you walk in the streets, drug couples. My kids were like, you know, I have kids in high school, so it's very permissible to drink in football games and activities that kids do, and my kids were not used to this, so here we are. I just felt like, you know, Lot and his daughters in Sodom and Gomorrah, in the sense that here we are. And of course, we live in the world. We see that around us, but it's like in your face. And our kids are in an area that is just so permissive for so many things that they were not used to. So there was a lot of training and a lot of angst in my spirit, and I just cried out to God for a long time and woke up one particular morning, and I said, "Lord," as I was doing my study, and I literally physically cried to God, and I said, "Lord, are you," because I was just praying, "Lord, why have you brought me here?" And I had applied to one particular church for children's ministry, and the church was very stagnant. We had visited a couple times, and there wasn't a passion for the Lord. There wasn't a desire to serve him. We just went about church business, you know, and we got to remember that there is a huge spiritual lostness out there. And it begins with our children. Our children are the future of America. And if we don't encourage them through the word of truth, through ministries like CEF, through your own children's ministry program, the nation will be completely godless soon enough. Now, God knows this, obviously. He's omniscient and he knows all things. So he puts ministries like ours to be very effective and very mindful of the needs of our future America. So what we do is invaluable because God's at work through us. And what you can do for us through prayer is invaluable because there's nothing more giving than the gift of prayer, because you petition and commission the living God, his Spirit, to go before us. And so as I cried out to God, and I literally said, Lord, are you going to, these were my words, literally, Lord, are you going to let me die and not raise me up in a big way? So he obviously didn't let me die. I'm here. And I'll be honest with you, there was a little bit of complacency during that time because I was very compassionate. Well, let's just say I was moved by the drug culture, but I just didn't know how to meet that need. I've never experienced that myself. And I didn't know. Sometimes the best person to go before you is someone that has experienced that same thing that the issue, you know, at hand is that. I've never experienced that for myself. Alcoholism, I've never experienced, not that I've never had a drink, but I've never experienced alcoholism. I've never experienced drugs. So for me, I felt inept. I felt like, what do I do, Lord? I want to be able to reach out to these people. What do I do? So in the midst of this time, as I cried out, I said, Lord, you're going to let me die and not raise me up in a big way. And CF showed up. And I interviewed for the position. It was like probably a 4-month-long interview. And at some point there, I got discouraged because I just thought maybe this is not it. You know, just trying to see the direction and the will and the call of God and what that looked like for me. And so as I visited this time of waiting on God for his calling, I went back through the ages and through the years of God's preparation in my life. You know, I'd worked with children. I'd been involved in multiple capacities in sports ministries. And then I questioned, Lord, well, I'm Spanish. I could be reaching 26 other Spanish-speaking nations if you brought me to an urban area. So I had all these thoughts, but clearly God at some point said, this is where you need to go. So my thing is, as I'm here now and I'm understanding and learning the ministry, is specifically, how is God going to use the CEF ministry through me? And because this is his ministry, this is not us. This is, we're just an extension, like my sister here has mentioned and very adequately presented. Child evangelism is an arm of the church. We're a parachurch. We're not affiliated indirectly or directly with any particular church, but we serve the church. So one of the things we do is when we go into the schools and we witness to the kids and we share the good news, and we have 5-year cycles that we go through. We go through the entire Bible in 5 years, and then it cycles again. And we teach basically all of the different themes are geared to teaching the children about Christ and the need that they have for him. Now, it's quite obvious, you know, even when I was young and not a believer, I remember about maybe 5 or 6 years old, you know, the conscience is there because God created us in his image and in his likeness, and he has placed part of him in us. We have to choose him at some point, but there was that nudging and there was that conscientiousness at some point when I was young that I was doing wrong. So children are very much aware of what that looks like. They don't know how to articulate it. They don't know how to make a profession. They don't know what that looks like in terms of, what do I do about this angst, this conflict that I have been within my spirit? And so the ministry of CEF is there specifically to do that. We're there to reach the children as young as we can. One of the problems that we are facing, which is a big problem, and God is kind of showing me closure as to why I'm here, is because, as Sue briefly mentioned, the millennials are the younger folks with younger kids. They are pretty much unchurched. They don't have a desire for God, and I'm not going to make a blanket statement, but from what we're witnessing, we hand out typically about 400 permission slips to our schools. And depending on the size of the schools, we typically get maybe not even 1% kids attending the program. In our Wellsboro area school, which is the one that's closest to us, in the public schools, I think we have, three kids attending? Three kids attending of 400. So that's very disheartening. So we're looking for ways to reach so that we can get the millennials. We can get not just the kids, but the parents. Because what happens is in a lot of these, and I think what we're getting, most of the kids that we are getting are probably the kids that are churched. The kids whose parents understand the need to have God as a voice for them during the school time. And we only get them once a week. So with my experience over the years in children's ministries and in various capacities, we do a lot of sports ministries. We have involved ourselves in doing sports clinics, various different sports camps, and I don't know of any churches that have basketball courts or anything like that, because this is a much smaller area than where we have, typically where we come from. In Florida, the churches are pretty large, 2,000 to 10,000 members, and they have their own facilities, which it makes it easier for kids to come in and, you know, bring them in and be able to share with them, and then we draw their families in. So we're limited in some of the ways that we can do things here, but the Lord has prepared me for that. So I'm thinking we could probably, it has already been done through soccer, but I've been very much involved in basketball and other sports as well, so we're thinking maybe we could do that. One of the things that we just recently found out, we had a visit from the commissioner, Mark Hamilton, and he visited us, and he came and to meet me the other day, and anytime someone places them in my realm of influence, they're going to be involved in the work we do, because I just believe they're divine appointments. So God brought Mark in, and we got to talking. Obviously, he's a believer. And I said, Mark, God's going to use you. And he looked at me and was like, you're here now. So you came in my way. So here's what we need you to do. I need you to pray to see ways that God's going to use you for his glory through this ministry. Because he's a man of influence. He, you know, can have some say in some things. And so whenever God has people in key positions, that means we can move rather quickly. Like Sue said, Florida, New Jersey, a lot of the states, they do not allow a Good News Club to present the gospel. So when I was aware of how much key people God has in place already, he's starting to reveal this plan. God's going to resurrect Tioga County. I'm clear of that. He's doing some amazing work here. And I know it may be hard to see, but God's unfolding that before me very, very clearly. Things, too many pieces are coming together, too much confirmation. There are principals in the school systems here that are believers. I met with Principal Millard here in, and then I'll close this out and we can finish this in Sunday school. But Principal Millard is, he's the principal at Elkland. It has another name, right? It's called something else at school. I thought they called it something, but it's Elkland. And he said to me, we got a time to talk for a while, and he said, Louisa, many people have come with ideas and thoughts here, but they've never come back. So he's charged me. He says, please come back. So some of the things that we're interested in doing is doing possibly able to reach the kids, more kids, through an after-school program that might offer tutoring, might offer homework, a task for homework. He says, the problem we're having is a lot of kids are going home, and they're not getting their homework done, and parents are complaining. So he says, Louisa, these are one of the ways that we can meet that need. We get the kids in, we'll meet that need, but most importantly, we'll meet their greatest need. We'll tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ who can save them. Because at the end of the day, whether we have water to drink or we have food to eat or we have all these little tasks, if we don't have the greatest need met, then we're empty. And it's like that encounter of Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman. And we'll talk about that in our Sunday school lesson, because that's kind of the word and the direction that God gave me. And that was the story behind the word God gave me was John 4:35, that, you know, open your eyes and look at the harvest, because the fields are open. And Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. It's just a matter of all us coming together and joining him in his work and what he's doing here in Tioga County. And I am just so excited. I mean, usually I'm not this calm. I'm Spanish, so I'm rah-rah. But I am excited about what God's doing here. And I know it's through his church that he's going to be able to accomplish this, because I'm just one person, and I think we have maybe one. Linda's still on staff with us, and so we're also starting our social media program. I'm not huge on social media, but I know it's the communicative way of the ages. I'm one of those that I'll use it because I have to. I think it sometimes creates more problems than not, but I think that it can be effective if you're using it the right way. So my committee was one of those things that they kind of charged me and said, this is something we need to do. So we're about done with our website. We've got some other, we just did our Facebook. We updated that again also. And then we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, and we're moving to all these things that I just like. But, you know, these are ways that we can let the millennials know what we're doing. And we're really trying to reach them, because if we can't, we can reach the children and they go home and the parents trample on the word because they're not believers, then the child gets, you know, he retreats back and he doesn't see the full part of what God is doing. Well, I'm learning this and these are good people, but I have this huge pain that I deal with here at home. So we need to find effective ways. And God's kind of given me some direction on that as well. So we'll just kind of finish this up here in a little bit, I guess. Thank you.
Well, we can just say that the teen center has a lot of that same thing going on. We're seeing kids come in who ask questions. You know they're not thinking that on their own. Fourth, fifth, sixth graders, they're hearing from their parents. So that whole ungodly mindset is part of how we're born. We're born sinners, but these kids are not getting any encouragement at home. And Joe and Sue Lewis just started a couple weeks ago with us at the teen center, so be in prayer for that ministry as well. About three weeks ago, we saw five kids pray to receive Christ. Then the last 2 weeks after that, they were terrible, terribly behaved. Someone told me yesterday that Dr. Sarah, he does Tuesday afternoon a couple weeks ago, had to grab a kid by the arm and escort him out, and then some kids started laughing. He got in their face, and that's not normally Dr. Sarah's way of dealing with it. But the kids, Satan is just really trying to work in children's lives as well as parents, certainly. My daughter came home yesterday and was practicing music and said, I love Jesus. What is it? Jesus Loves Me is not the song you know that's in the hymnal. So I know we all know Jesus Loves Me. Let's stand together. We're just going to sing it out.